week. Shout three times, hallelujah.
And y'all, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You may have your seats. Thank God for the testimonies. You know, usually I come up here and I don't know exactly how to start, but I talk to Sister Sheila, always verifying the word. All y'all's testimonies, just verifying the word today. I thought about a song that we always say when we started singing. We always tell Satan, get thee behind. And my wife spoke at a women's fellowship out of town, that back in Williamsburg one year, early on. And she said something right comical. She totally, she was talking about, get thee behind Satan. And she did like this. Satan says, you look pretty good from here too. But it's a meaning behind that. It's a little comical, but there's a meaning behind it. I just thought about that. This has been years ago. And I thought about that. And I thought about the title that I've given y'all today. And I said, you know, we're going to court. Then I said, now what if I say, just to make sure, where is Satan? There you go. And the message that I have today, I said, we're going to court. I said, we have a case. We're going to court. But I looked around and heard the testimonies. I didn't tell you who we were taking to court. Because if I told you who we were taking to court, some of you say, well, he bothered me enough now. Why would I ask for more trouble? We have a case, we're going to court. We're going to take the devil to court. See, one thing we don't understand, God created us, redeemed us, redeemed you and me with a purpose in mind. It is your spiritual enemy. His goal, that's his job, to cause the purpose of your life to break down and not be realized. As I stated earlier, he comes to destroy. He comes to destroy your dreams, your hopes, your destinies, your purposes. He comes ultimately to take your life before it's time. Many of the things that you see happening are people dying before it's time. Now, there is a time. The Bible says that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So there is a date. But you don't want to leave before it's time. You don't want to leave early. And that's what Satan's goal is, ultimately, to take your life. But even prior to that, his goal is that you do not realize the applicated purpose and created purpose that he has for each and every one of us. As I said before, you have a book. Every Christian has a book. We saw that in Psalms 139 and verse 16. We have a book. And that book lays out what God's design is, his kingdom purpose is, his divinely ordained reason for being. So for those who want to reclaim what you have been illegitimately taken through sin, I got quiet on that one. You think he just coming this through sin or circumstances? Sometimes circumstances out of your control. That's why we need to take the devil to court. You need to take him to court. Now, a lot of us are trying to fight the devil outside of court, and which means that's not legal. It's not legal. You have to fight him legally, according to the courtroom of God. Amen. That's why the Bible is full of legalese. is full of statements. That's one of my, I'd say I made it up like you, Sheila. It's full of statements related to judges, the laws, status, statutes, and covenant. All of those are legal documents or positions because there is a legislative tie to the spiritual reality. So why don't we just go to a court scene today so that we can learn some principles about getting back whatever has been stolen from you and whatever life has left for you so that it doesn't keep being a drifter, that is, an aimless wanderer in your life. We're going to get rid of him for good. He's going to be there, not to frustrate us. He'll try, but he can't do it. Zechariah chapter 3. Now, I have some scriptures I'm going through. It seemed like a lot, but it's not really. Some I'm just going to touch on just to bring you up to date what I'm really trying to get you to understand. So in Zechariah chapter 3, we are actually in a courtroom. In the book of Zechariah, we have a judge, we have a prosecuting attorney, we have a defense lawyer, and we got a client. And they all are in court. In Zechariah chapter 3, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. You remember the last time we saw that? He was an accuser of the brethren. The word to accuse means to bring legal accusation against. So this is an attempt to bring legal accusations against Joshua, the high priest. Why does he want to bring legal accusations against Joshua? Verse 2 says, "The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan.'" We'll pick that up a little bit later. But it says, "Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Little history. Because of Israel's rebellion and the southern kingdom rebellion against God, they were judged by being taken to Babylon. But after 70 years in Babylon and under judgment, they were being restored to Jerusalem. Joshua was one of those priests, part of the restoration period, a process of getting Jerusalem back online, for getting them back in sync because of their rebellion. So Joshua is getting ready to get back after that 7 years of being enslaved, I would say, judgment. God was ready to get him back to where he wanted him to be in the first place. Amen. He called Joshua a brand plucked from the fire. Now, Joshua is a high priest. He is to lead the spiritual direction for his people. He has a divine purpose. That's why we are told that his job was he is a high priest. God had a divine purpose for him. He has got something God wants him to do for Jerusalem. The reason he is a brand plucked out of the fire is because Satan wants to get rid of him. God has you for a purpose, a design purpose. You're going to meet that purpose. It's going to be hard, but we're going to find out through Joshua why it was so hard. See, he wants to get rid of him. He doesn't want him to give him the leverage, kingdom influence, for the benefit of God's bigger purpose, which is the restoration of Jerusalem. So he wants to get rid of Joshua, and so that there is no support for the deliverance of Jerusalem, having the intent or power to save or redeem. That word used for that is Salvific. S-A-L-V-I-C-F-I-C. Deliverance from Jerusalem, having the intent or power to save or redeem. That's what Satan is trying to do. In other words, he wants to oppose successfully his kingdom purpose. Purpose that's bigger than you, and you are designed to fulfill a kingdom responsibility for the benefit of something bigger than you. So if it's only about you, Satan got you. There is a purpose. He wants to successfully oppose it. He wants to keep Jerusalem from being restored. He wants to keep our communities from being restored. He wants to keep our families from being restored. He wants to keep our culture from being restored. And how is he doing that? He is getting us engulfed in the fire. You got Christians running around adopting the culture rather than representing the king and his kingdom. Now, what was given Satan this creed here? What was giving him the motivation here? What was giving him, we call it, what was giving him that juice? Well, verse 3 says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He was dressed in unrighteousness.
Come on, Pastor.
Let's look at something else. Verse 4. See, I have taken away your iniquity. He got filthy garments in iniquity. Iniquity goes a little bit further because the garments are on the outside. Iniquity is on the inside. So there was dirt in and dirt out. Not only that, verse 5 says, put a clean turban on his head. That means the one he was wearing wasn't clean. He had a dirty mind. What we have to understand is that sin gives Satan legal rights. He can now take you to court. He can now take you to court because he got something on me. He got something on us. And he can take us to court to dwarf God's purpose in our lives because he knows something that either we don't know or we have forgotten, or that he has, and that is God's holiness, the righteousness of God. That's why he can take us to court. Because maybe we've forgotten the righteousness of God. Maybe if we forgot how holy God is. Maybe we forgot the standards of God. And because he knows that, we forget that or don't take it seriously as we ought. He uses that in order to break you, to see that in a moment, to break fellowship with God. That's what he wants us to do, break fellowship with God in order that purpose cannot be realized. He don't want us. If God has something for you, he had you a job for you, he has a destiny for you, he is trying to keep you from that any way possible.
Thank you.
So Joshua had some issues. That's what my son used to say. He got some issues. We are told Proverbs 26 and 2 that a curse flutters like a bird in order to find cause. And that is cause. The word there means legal accusation. So it's demons fluttering in order to look for a cause. A cause that can be taken legislatively, because heaven to break fellowship and block God's purpose. So that's our problem. But we find him standing. We are told before the angel of the Lord, verse 1. Then verse 3 says, standing before the angel, which is the angel of the Lord. Let's not put words to that. Let's not add to or take away from that word. It's not an angel of the Lord. It's the angel of the Lord. That is Jesus pre-incarnate. Jesus existed before physical birth, his physical birth, and the second birth of the second person of the Trinity. He operates in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. Prior to the incarnation, the angel of the Lord is second member of the Trinity. It is Jesus the Christ. Because unless you understand this, then you will not fully grasp why this defense attorney is so critical. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 reads like this. My little children, that's us Christians, I am writing to you these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. An advocate is a lawyer because we are in a courtroom. We have a lawyer before the Father, the judge, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is a defense attorney for the little children, believers. It is the job of Jesus currently, this is his post-ascension job, to represent you in court of heaven when accusations is registered against you, when things are registered against us. It is his job to support us in heaven. When Satan comes to legislate, breaking a fellowship in order that he might block purpose, you don't go to court and represent yourself. How many court shows? Y'all watch a lot of court shows? And they don't have a case to go in there. He has a case, but he don't have all the material that he needs. He want to go speak for himself. You don't do that here. We have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. The death of Jesus Christ created imputed righteousness. To impute means to credit something. To do a credit is to impute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay. The law, remember? We are dealing with legalese now. The curse of the law having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, the cross. So the curse, the judgment that is against you, has been handled by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which 1 John 2 calls the propitiation, that is, that was the satisfaction. God is satisfied with your lawyer. Let me tell you how satisfied God is with your lawyer. Revelations chapter 19, verse 10, it says that Jesus is the key based on the testimony of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Well, we give testimony in court. This thing gets sweeter and sweeter. Not only is Jesus your lawyer, not only if he's your lawyer to testify on our behalf, on your behalf, he gives testimony. He gives testimony. But he gives testimony on our case, on your case. And here is the deal. The case is legitimate because Joshua has dirty clothes. He has a dirty turban. He has iniquity. So it's not that that Satan doesn't make up stuff. We give him enough stuff to use. We give him plenty of stuff to use. Used to say, tell the truth and shame the devil.
Yeah.
That is, if that's not you, I don't know why you're even here. So he has taken him to court. But he is standing before the angel of the Lord, who is a lawyer, his advocate. And when standing before the angel of the Lord, the principle here is the key. The key is he has got an accuser, Satan, accusing him. He got a judge, that has to make a judgment. The goal is to remove fellowship in order to block the purpose, but he is standing not before the judge, he is standing before the angel of the Lord, who is our advocate. Let me tell you, let's go back to 1 John briefly, because this is the New Testament version of this Old Testament story that I'm going over today. In 1 John, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So you can't be talking about being close to God when living in sin. But if we walk in the light, here it is, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, the Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
you, Jesus. Hold up.
Okay.
We're thanking him. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Watch this. When is the blood cleansing you? When you are in the light? But wait a minute. I thought if I was in the light, I'm not shiny. That's not what it says. It says if we walk in the light, like he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Why? Because the light shows your sin.
Amen.
Walking in the light means living in his presence. It means operating with his consciousness. It is honest exposure before a holy God.
Amen.
He is standing before the angel of the Lord like we are standing in the presence of God, so the blood can do its work.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake.
Yes, yes.
I will not remember your sins. Anybody in here has some sins you want God to forget?
Amen.
I'm raising both hands. He says, I will not remember your sins. But put me in remembrance. Whoa, wait a minute here. God says, tell me all about it.
Yeah.
Put it in remembrance. Tell me all about it.
That's right.
Come on. Let us argue our case together. Oh, we got a case. We are in court.
Uh-huh.
State your cause. So how are you going on a witness stand? Well, you're going on a witness stand now. State your cause that you may be proved right. He says, don't hide it, state it. I'm putting you on the stand, and I want you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. I want you to lay it down, lay it out, talk to me, state your case. Confession, the Greek word means to say the same thing. It means to come in agreement with. You must say what God is saying, not what your neighbor is saying, not what your posses are saying, not your people, what your hangout people are saying, or what you think. He says you must say what I say about it. You must talk by my talk. The word of the testimony must be in agreement with me.
Amen.
Don't you just love 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 25 through 26? It says, with gentleness concerning those who are in opposition. How to relate to people, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Do you know one of our problems Satan is holding on us hostage? You know one of our problems? It's repentance, repenting. He says, confession is agreeing with. So the moment that you know you have sinned and agree with God, an explosion go off. The blood of Jesus covers it that instant, that moment. Confession. You confess the truth. You're speaking the same thing God's speaking. Repentance is a little bit more than that. Repentance is related to a direction. Everybody goes the wrong way sometimes. That's one option. One option is you just keep going. Another option is, I don't care. I'm only human, so I'm just going to keep going the wrong way. Or you can say, the longer I'm on this road, the further I'm going to get from where I should be. Because this is not where I want to go. This is not the way. This is not the location that I want to get to. Well, that means there must be a decision to exit. Remember, I tell you confession first. Confession, we'll call that, we have God's, I guess, how would I call it? God's direction. We don't have that man-made stuff you're punching and find out where you're going, and that thing mess you up too. But when you let God navigate where you need to go, everything has already been put in place. So this first exit round, we are going the wrong way. Confession so we're going, but we need to repent. We don't want to keep going the wrong way. And we used to say repent means to turn away, go the opposite direction. God has already planned our map. The first, we're going the wrong way, but we want to repent. So we take this first exit, which is confession off-ramp. So you come to the exit. And now you have to get off of confession off-ramp. But now you got to go over to the overpass to get to the other side of the highway. And we're going to call that grace overpass. Because there's a bridge that's there that's been built to take you from the off-ramp over to the other side. So now you get off the confession off-ramp to get onto grace overpass, but now there's another ramp, and that ramp is called restoration on-ramp. So you get off confession off-ramp, you cross over to grace overpass, and you get on restoration on-ramp. And guess what? You are now headed in the right direction. And the beautiful thing is, you don't have to build a ramp. The ramp has already been built. Confession is agreement when you do something bad. Repentance is turning from that direction to another direction. He is standing before the Lord. His guilt is visible. He is not hiding anything. His turban is dirty. His clothes are dirty. Talking about Joshua. And he is standing there. He is standing there when he is repentant. Something happens. The Lord said to Satan, now the judge steps in because we have the angel of the Lord. But now we have the Lord himself. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. He says, the Lord said to the devil, I have chosen Jerusalem, my purpose. I have plucked this brand from the fire. I have changed its trajectory. Did you know you don't have to quit when things go wrong? Did you know you didn't have to, people said, throw in the towel because you think you're beaten? You don't have to do that. And you don't have to give up on life because things have gotten just that bad. Because if you get your case handled by the judge, because the lawyer who represents you also gives testimony for you and is the son of the judge. What happens to Joshua? I told you earlier, this thing gets sweeter and sweeter. It does. What happened to Joshua? I told you, Joshua had some issues. It says, put on clean clothes. In other words, remove the filthy garment. Verse 4 says, change his clothes. And he says, change his turban on his head. And the end of verse 5, while the angel of the Lord was standing by, how sweet it is to be loved by you. He says, Daddy, I want you to take over. I'm just going to watch this. And here's what the angel of the Lord says in verse 6 and 7. The angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let me tell you about my daddy. I want to tell you something. If you will walk in my ways, perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my court. I will grant you free access. among those who are standing there. There is so much there. Let's back up a little bit. Joshua is the high priest. He already got the post. He's high priest. He got that position. But he wasn't doing that position well. But now he gets a recall. He says, if you'll now line up with me, I'll recall you in your post, and watch this. I will also promote you, because you will not only govern my house, you will have charge of my courts, and I will grant you access to my environment. See, I'm going to give you stuff that you never even started off with. The devil is coming against you, but God has given you a jacket to put on. He wants you to wear that jacket of righteousness of Jesus Christ. He wants you to put that jacket on. He wants you to want the confession. He wants the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. And he wants you to turn away from your wicked ways just to return. That's repentance. So that he can give you back your dignity, give you back your hope, give you back your just give you back your dreams. He wants to give you back your purpose, give you back your legitimate prosperity, give you back the time you have left on this life. Now we've been to court. Now we know the outcome. Don't take that jacket off. Because when you take that jacket off, you lose your power. When you take off that jacket, you lose your ability. When you take off your jacket, but when you put your jacket on and button that thing up, you want to make sure it's buttoned. You button that thing up. You tuck it in if you have to. You don't want to lose it. All of a sudden, when he comes at you, he is under my feet. Now my healing is complete. Now my joy is back. Now my family is getting straight. Now my children is getting straight. Keep the jacket on. And one important thing he says, don't leave home without it. You put on the power of authority, the crucified Christ, who is risen from the dead. Don't leave home without it. Keep your jacket on. Church, you know, so many things happen with us, happen to us. I've heard it a lot of different ways. But you should make up your mind. If you want to be an overcomer, if you want to get back what has been legitimately taken, and you know you gave him, he has accusation against you, the Satan does. You gave him the power to go up before to take you to court. This is what happens when we take him to court. He don't have a leg to stand on because we're in front of the Father. We told the truth and nothing but the truth, and he knows you can't put him in remembrance of everything because y'all talking the same thing. Right. He is our advocate.
Yes.
Satan, get kicked out of court.
Yes.
We are victorious.
Yes.
Yes.
He is under our feet.
Yes.
That's where he will stay, under our feet.
Hallelujah.
The Lord had me to do something special. I didn't know for sure if he's... I was hearing things last week or not. I didn't know exactly how you want me to do this. How many? I was looking for a young man. I was hopes that he would be here, but he's not. The Lord has some. When I see him, I got to call him or find some way to get in touch with him because the Lord has a lot for that young man. He came to visit last week. I think he came with Jesse, I believe. But anybody here, you just have an issue It's not, I'm not talking about nobody. If you have aught somebody else and they misquoted you or accused you of anything, if things that are happening, I love the testimony this morning. You hold fast to God. You kept your jacket on.
Amen.
Not only did you get back that which you thought you didn't have, you left it to God. And see how truthful that is? See how fast that come about? God says his timing is perfect. He comes right on time. Lord, if you came yesterday. No, he comes right on time. It took him that long to get the people straight that were that had ought against you. God is working behind the scenes. If you have anything that you need, that you haven't, well, I told you to prepare. I told you last week, I want you to just go in your prayer of repentance, confession. If you did that, God's going to get rid of some things right now. If you have anything that you need him to take care of seriously, just raise your hand. I had a... You have a mask down there? Did I take it out? I thought I had one.